Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
I'm joined by Denise Kernan about her new book, We Gather Together, A Nation Divided, A President in Turmoil, and a Historic Campaign to Embrace Gratitude and Grace. The book is available now wherever fine books are sold, and it is just one of those books that I think we need right now as a country to sit and just kind of feel good about ourselves. Denise, this is not only a biography of a very interesting character in history, a female character, but it is also the biography of a holiday that we all know and love, Thanksgiving. Can you kind of explain who Sarah Hale was? Because she's a woman who, in looking back, she was amazing at her time, whether she was appreciated or not, but she would be amazing living in our times as well.
Absolutely. That's such a great point. As I was researching Sarah Josepha Hale, who, you know, was a widowed mother of five, who had no formal schooling and went on to become one of the most influential editors of the 19th century. She was the editor of a very important ladies' magazine, called Godey's, and in her spare time, when she wasn't raising five children and editing a magazine, she was writing her own novels, writing poems, among them a little ditty called Mary Had a Little Lamb, writing and, you know, curating anthologies of other people's work and raising up the efforts of other women and other writers. And, you know, when I was looking through her life and everything that she accomplished and everything she did, in addition to her campaign for a single national day of thanks in America, I would just find myself asking, my gosh, what have I been doing with my time? You know, I mean, you look at this woman and she was nonstop. So you're absolutely right. In the 19th century, you know, when she did not have a boat, she was, you know, and she was not, you know, given the benefit of excellent schooling from an early age up, she still managed to accomplish incredible things. But even if you dropped her into the 21st century, I think she'd be an influencer. She'd be one of those influencers you hear about on, you know, Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. She was quite a person.
Well, she had this whole idea that there should be a National Day of Thanksgiving, and you take us back and kind of explain how this all came about. And I grew up in the age where, and maybe this was just me not paying attention in school, we heard the famous tale of that, well, the Pilgrims and the Indians celebrated together the first Thanksgiving a year after the arrival at Plymouth Rock. You kind of unpeel the onion skin of that story and show that there isn't a whole lot of factual support for it, right?
Sure. And yes, and I'm not in with respect to that. And I grew up the same as you. I grew up hearing the exact same story when I was young. And I'm not actually that aspect of sort of, you know, pointing out the very little historical support for so many aspects of that story. I'm not the first person to have done that. But what I was interested in was actually going back and looking at, from a global perspective, looking at, you know, harvest festivals and then the concept of Thanksgivings, which could have been for, you know, rains or could have been proclaimed by, you know, someone in power because of a battle that was won. One of the funnier things I came across was in John Adams' diaries where he wrote, Thanksgiving proclaimed for the repeal of the stamp tax, you know, it's hilarious to look back and see all of these different concepts and executions and interpretations of Thanksgiving, and then see how that grew into the Thanksgiving that we know today. So in a way, like, as you said, it is a biography of an idea. And, you know, I get into the concept, as you say, I'm peeling the onion of the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag tribe a bit. Really, did the Pilgrims, were they there in 1621? Yes. You know, was a meal at some point, you know, shared with the Wampanoag? Yes. But that was never proclaimed a Thanksgiving. Certainly things did not always go quite well for indigenous peoples and Native Americans on this continent in with relation to the newcomers. But there's no proof that the Native Americans were invited Then there's no proof that that day itself was actually proclaimed as a Thanksgiving, as was the custom. You would proclaim a Thanksgiving. And more importantly, when Sarah Hale began petitioning these folks, these presidents and governors and heads of territories to pick one day where the entire country would come together and give thanks, she never mentioned or sought to commemorate any particular event. What she really thought, and it's like you say, you know, we need this today, and I think they needed it then during the Civil War, a way to come together and in the midst of some very, very difficult times, find something to just say thank you for.
What, and you trace her whole ideas and her fascination with Thanksgiving back to, it was her novel Northwood, 1827, that novel is published, and she describes this whole idea of a Thanksgiving. But do you think this just sort of happened through happenstance with her, that she came up with this idea, or was this something near and dear to her heart, and this was some strategic plan to put it into a literary work and then begin lobbying presidents?
That's an excellent question, and you are reminding me how frustrating it is to write history, because you wish you could actually sit down with these people and ask them direct questions. But my read on her is that, having grown up in New England, where the practice of Thanksgiving, usually sometimes a couple times a year in the spring and in the fall, or they might have a day of fasting in the fall as a way of celebrating a Thanksgiving, which of course seems strange to us, she had a real nostalgia for that, for Thanksgiving days. And I think that was instilled in her, having grown up in New England. She was very dedicated to the idea of the Union staying together. And, you know, even, you know, in 1827, you know, when she was working on this novel, I mean, you could already start to see the Union starting to pull apart. Her father was a veteran of the Revolutionary War and was injured fighting in the Revolutionary War. And so I think it was this combination of nostalgia for Thanksgivings she personally had experienced, as well as this desire to have, you know, she said, we only have two national holidays. It was only Independence Day and Washington's birthday at the time. She said, we need a third one, and it should be a Thanksgiving that the entire, you know, country can come together on. And so in her 1827 novel, Northwood, there is almost an entire chapter dedicated to a Thanksgiving meal. And she goes into just, I mean, incredible detail, the kind that you would never actually get to go into today. Your editor would say, yeah, about half of this probably has to go. But it's lovely, and you can really see her passion for the food and the table settings and all of the kinds of traditions surrounding those days for her. And, you know, she was a campaigner. I mean, she was always, you know, she was raising money for people. She would raise money for charitable causes. So she always had some sort of cause that she was fighting for in her way.
I'm chatting with Denise Kernan about her new book, We Gather Together, A Nation Divided, A President in Turmoil, and A Historic Campaign to Embrace Gratitude and Grace. The book is available now wherever books are sold. Denise, I thought it was interesting in your biography that you had served as a head writer for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on ABC. And that stuck out to me. What does a head writer on a game show do?
You know, it's interesting. So we had about 20 writers and researchers, and they had quotas. They actually had to fill the writers for questions. And then I would go through all of those. I would talk about different topics we needed to probably, you know, think about focusing on. You know, we have too many questions like this. We need more questions like this. You know, lay off the TV trivia, you know, that sort of stuff. And then I would go through and look at all the different questions, and I actually ranked them 1 to 15. And then I would meet with the producers, and we'd go over what, oh, that's not a number 7. That's a number 10. Who knows that? You know, we'd do all that sort of back and forth. And then I was actually in the studio for all of the tapings. So I would brief Regis every night before we started taping to make sure he was clear on all the pronunciations and all those sorts of things. So it was a wild time. Nobody expected that show to, it was crazy in the beginning. You know, it really took off, and, but it was a great experience. I met some terrific people, and, certainly learned to work under a bit of pressure.
Well, and it had to be fun with those first five questions where a couple of the answers are usually just throwaway moronic answers, and to just throw them in there, it's got to be fun to just get a chuckle out of it because some were puns and some were just obviously wrong.
Yes, that's so true, but you know, it's interesting when you would go to the tapings and you would see you sit in that chair, it's nerve-wracking, you know, and you know you're on television, you know you're on, you know, it was the number one show in prime time. I mean, everybody was watching it. And so even the simplest of questions, just, you could see people not wanting to, well, I think I know the answer to that, but maybe I don't. So so many times it was really just people questioning what they already knew. And but yeah, it was always interesting to see who went out on what, especially in those, like you said, in those first five questions.
Getting back to your book, We Gather Together, Hale was not just an advocate for Thanksgiving, and I also found it interesting that she was never a part of the women's suffragist movement, but a lot of authors and literary figures that we know today owe a debt of gratitude to her because she gave them exposure and good reviews, and we may not have heard of Edgar Allan Poe had it not been for her, right?
That is one of my favorite anecdotes from the book. So early on, Hale has the work of a young writer published in the magazine, and discusses the work of this writer and says, you know, well, he is, you know, he's boyish, and you know, he needs to develop in this way or the other, but you know, there was a sign of real genius, and, you know, he was no less a poet than Shelley and et cetera. And turns out this young writer went to West Point with her son. And so her son writes her a letter and says, yes, I shared your article with my classmate, Edgar Allan Poe. And this was the beginning of an editor-writer relationship that lasted until the end of Poe's life. And you know, they published the cast, you know, the cast of Amontillado was published in Godey's, you know, and his last story, Malona Fossa, was published in Godey's. And not just Poe, although he was certainly a standout, you know, people like Nathaniel Hawthorne and Ralph Waldo Emerson and, you know, Washington Irving, before they were huge, huge, huge names. And at least on all my reading list when I was in high school, you know, these are people that she published in her magazine, and she also, you know, published a lot of the work of women too.
Did she ever begrudge the fact that her only ability to get an education was secondhand through people, especially through her husband? That's how she learned.
If she did, she was not. I didn't come across her complaining about that. She was very much, you know, her tenacity and her ability to kind of look more than just look on the bright side of things, but she really kind of embraced a gratitude practice before that phraseology even existed. You know, she grew up, rather than talk about the fact that, you know, she didn't get to go to school, she was always talking about how fortunate she was that she grew up in a house full of books where reading was strongly encouraged by her parents for all of their children. And that, you know, her brother was very generous with his time and his education. When he came back from college, from Dartmouth, he would share what he learned with her. And, yes, her husband, David, they had study hour together from 8 to 10, and they would discuss French or they would discuss botany. And he was one of the, he was the person who really encouraged her not just to write, but to actually start submitting her writing to places that might publish it. So she, very more often you see her talking about the good fortune she experienced as opposed to complaining about limitations put on her, and I think that's a very interesting aspect of her personality.
Well, it's just, she's a character I'd never heard of, and I'm so glad that I did. The book is We Gather Together, A Nation Divided, A President in Turmoil, and A Historic Campaign to Embrace Gratitude and Grace. The book is available now wherever fine books are sold. It is written by Denise Kernan. Denise, thank you for such a great book that I just absolutely fell in love with, and thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.